Hey, guys. Welcome back to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show. Bringing you the latest world news and health research. I know the vitamin C powder, I was just telling him, the vitamin C powder is on production. It's supposed to ship out next week, so we're a little delayed on it. There are a couple back orders, so just bear with us on that. The product was already supposed to be done. There's some delays in the packaging, but have no fear. Austin Brower's here. I'm here to take care of you guys, all your health supplement needs at healthmaster.com. And on a good note, though, B-Complex, you voted. It won. Product of the week, Bioactive B Vitamin Support. I did a really, really in-depth discussion yesterday on B vitamins, the need for them, the whole purpose of why you need to be taking them on a regular basis. I also covered it on Monday in another article covering B complex I'm going to cover today as well. Vitamin B12 deficiency mimics symptoms of multiple sclerosis. That's a big deal, guys. This topic has been out for years as far as on the debate on multiple sclerosis, basically not being able to be, you know, taken care of with anything. Can't fix it, can't cure it, can't figure out why.
And also one of the other ones is D3.
Correct. So I'm going to go into that article here in a little bit, but first I want to cover some of the stuff right now that's on sale, like product of the week with the B-Complex. Also, the multi-packs, be sure to check these out if you're trying to stock up on products that you use a lot of, like the magnesium brain food, like the collagen. This is the place to get it with the 3-packs and 6-packs, because not only do you save a lot of money, you got stuff on backup in the event that one of my suppliers doesn't give me the product when they say they're going to get me the product. You got a couple cans on backup. Just recommend that, especially if you're taking something for a really specific purpose, like cardiovascular health, joint health, and it's something you want to stay on a regular basis. Make sure you keep a little bit extra. We're great with inventory management. However, I can only fix so many problems when people don't do what they say they're going to do.
Stuff
gets delayed.
Also, we're changing some of the labels right now, and so sometimes we have some delays because the labels are printing. So say
that has, but we've gotten pretty good on that now.
I'd rather have just use the old label if they're going to be back ordering or not.
We already have. Okay, we've done that multiple times now. Yeah, the labels are, that's a no issue anymore. Sometimes it's getting the raws. Like, well, there's one product. I'm not even going to tell which one it is, because if I tell you which it is, you guys are going to buy it off the shelf. But
I know which one it is.
Yeah, I'm not even going to say it right now. We have plenty of it in stock. Don't worry. I'll keep you guys posted on that one. Stay tuned.
I think we dropped the 3-pack special on that one.
There you go. Which one that is.
No, they won't know.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, by the way, you know, the internet is a new Gutenberg press.
It really is.
I mean, you know, Gutenberg, you know, way back hundreds of years ago, he started doing movable type so he could print pages for the Bible. And the crazy part about it is that, you know, we never really had that big of a technology advance since the Gutenberg press until the internet.
Everything was hand-copied.
Yeah, until the Gutenberg press. And now, all of a sudden, we have this internet. The problem with the internet is, you know, they don't know how to control it, because people get out there and say all kinds of stuff on it. Maybe sometimes true, maybe sometimes false. But the reality is, it's one of those things that people have to understand that it is part of it. Are we losing that camera again?
No.
But what happened is J.D. Vance just was on Joe Rogan. And J.D. Vance, now the vice president of the United States, which is mind-boggling to me that he would actually get on there and talk about this. And it's so odd to me when this 21-ring circus going on all the time. And J.D. Vance says, absolutely screwed up. And J.D. Vance is now accusing Israel of a secret plot against him, and drops that Jeffrey Epstein was Mossad in a bombshell explosive Joe Rogan interview. I mean, that's a pretty big deal that this is actually happening. J.D. Vance has claimed that he is a target of an Israeli-funded...
Hey, you?
That's you, bud.
That wasn't me.
Wasn't me. Sorry about that. We are in the new studio, moved it around a little bit, so we're having to deal with some things. Just mute your computer.
Yeah.
J.D. Vance has claimed that he is a target of an Israeli-funded propaganda campaign over his Iran peace push, and that Jeffrey Epstein had ties to the highest levels of Mossad. The vice president made the explosive allegations during a nearly three-hour sit-down with podcaster Joe Rogan. I cannot believe that Secret Service didn't come in and stop this. I think it was that explosive. Vance pointed to a Time magazine report that said he had approved American influencers were being paid to attack Iran for Israel. The report notes the money has been flowing through a former Trump campaign operative and is bankrolled by elements of the Israeli government. You know what's so funny? We have told you this stuff for 2 years. For 2 years, we've talked about how Trump's being controlled by Israel. My response to that is, well, go to hell. Vance said of those taking the cash to smear him, the vice president who complained he has been branded as an anti-Semite. Aren't we all anti-Semites? If you're not willing to get into the casket, you're an anti-Semite. declared Israel is losing the public opinion battle in America. This is why Israel bought TikTok. That's been by the way, that information has also been covered up. Vance then shifted to the administration's handling of the Epstein scandal, revealing that the disgraced financier clearly had connections to the highest levels of Mossad. Well, he was Mossad. When Rogan noted that most people believe Epstein was working for Mossad, the vice president did not dispute it. Vance noted that it was Mossad or CIA or some other deep state, whether it was America or Israel or another country or both. They're always giving you multiple plausible, you know, deniability solutions here. Vance, who described himself as a conspiracy theory on Epstein, said that anything tying the pedophile to spy agency was likely destroyed after 2006 when the financier was first arrested. That's not true. That information is still out there. In fact, if you read the book, Dead Men Tell No Tales, Mankind gave it to me to read, it'll tie together exactly how Epstein was Mossad. And it's mind-boggling. He's the vice president who complained he has been branded an anti-Semite, declared that Israel is losing public opinion battle, you know, especially because of Epstein, Benjamin Netanyahu. What I've seen is that there just wasn't evidence. That's not true. On Epstein, the vice president agreed with Rogan that the financier was running an operation to pressure or to compromise powerful people. I mean, duh.
That's just a fact. Oh, my God.
I will go to my deathbed, Vance says, believing there's a story here, Vance said, though he admitted he cannot prove it. That's not true. He knows if he. What he's doing when he says stuff like that, because remember, he's not under oath with Rogan. This isn't something he's testifying before Congress.
That's exactly right.
He could twist what he wants to say, and maybe that's what this is. Maybe what they're realizing is there's so much internet chatter right now about Epstein being Mossad and so much stuff about how many people hate Israel.
He's trying to do a backspin on it.
I just had a friend of mine I talked to this morning. He's an electrical guy that I know. And I asked him if he could find me a certain light that he basically used to sell. And the problem is he's now retired. And he goes, well, we were in Israel a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And we loved it. We were there for 10 days. He goes, I won't go back. I can't believe what they're doing to Palestine. He's saying that.
Yeah.
But now he's still have other people saying, praise God for Israel. Well, let me stop here for a second. I had another guy say that to me this morning. Here's the thing. The Israel that we have right now in the Middle East is not the Israel of the Old Testament. I don't know how to get people to understand that. It is not that Israel any longer. It is a Rothschild construct. Israel is their fiefdom. And the sooner we understand that, the more...
It's a banking headquarters.
That's all it
is.
That's
what we're looking at.
It's a non-extradition country.
It's not that... I could do a whole show on this. It's not the Israel of Abraham and Isaac.
No. There was no Israel of Abraham and Isaac.
But the construct of what it's supposed to be, of whatever, and that's how they spin it in the churches. That's what they try to make it as. You know, these are the people that. It's a complete and total theater lie. And first off, when you do in the New Testament, what does Jesus say when he's on earth? Above all things, love. And that's really difficult to do sometimes. It really is.
It really is.
But, however... How can you sit there and say that fresh water and salt water is going to come from the same spring? How are you saying that I'm going to support a country that flat out says we want to basically kill anyone that we don't like? You know, Gaza, people be damned. Just kill them all. We don't care. We shoot children for sport. Oh, Beirut, Lebanon? No, we're going to take that all over. We're going to demo every single house, every single school. We're going to wipe Lebanon on the face of the map. I showed you guys. The Google Maps 2 months ago, southern Lebanon is no more. There are no more city names. There are no more town names. They don't exist. It's gone. They have that much control over it. And so you're sitting there going, well, I don't care. They have a right to do anything they want to any country at any point in time. If that is your Christian belief, then your background and your basis of Christianity obviously is beyond skewed. I can't have a conversation with you.
First of all, they're not passing laws of any type of criticism of Israel's anti-Semitism.
That's exactly right.
Okay, now let me stop here for a second. Okay, so you're saying, I don't care. I don't criticize Israel. I got it. What are you going to do when Israel decides they're going to take over the United States and they decide they're going to cut your head off with Doha laws? Are you going to feel like that then?
No, here's better yet. Here's better yet. Well, we've taken over part of Florida. We're the little hat people. We've decided... Polk County is possibly going to attack us. We have a right to defend ourselves. We're going to demo every city, every town, every school in Polk County because it's our right to defend ourselves.
You know,
this is exactly what they're doing over there. No, so you bring that topic here.
It won't matter.
How's that? We are the heaviest armed country in the entire world.
No, it won't matter. It won't matter to the Christian Zionists.
Oh, those people, they're clowns.
The Christian Zionists are so brain dead as far as they've been so brainwashed by the doggone Scofield Bible and dispensationalism that they don't. It doesn't matter what Israel does.
No, there's a percentage of them. There's such clowns. They'll say, "Well, thank you guys for demoing my house. I'm glad you guys could do that for me for your protection."
Well, when the Israel soldiers come in and they rape your wife and they do all the things and they shoot your children, if that ever happened, are you going to say, "I'm so happy I'm supporting Israel"? I mean, where does it draw the line? Where do you draw the line and say, "I'm not supporting this clown country anymore"? This is not Old Testament Israel. This is not it. This has nothing to do. They don't even, the Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan, Shabbat network there, they don't even worship the God of Abraham. They worship Lucifer.
Speaking of Joe Rogan, just watch the Joe Rogan segment with Ben Shapiro.
Yeah.
Dave, do you want to see what they believe? Now, let me get back to this topic. I want to cover this. I've had a lot of people ask about this. B12 deficiency, one of the reasons why we carry so much B12 in our B complex is for this specific reason. A lot of people are B12 deficient. Are you glitching?
No, I've got to get up and get something to drink, and I can't walk out of here without walking in front of a camera now. This is awful.
You were locked in. We'll put on center channel for a second.
Well, I got you.
As I told you guys yesterday, if you didn't watch the show yet, we moved the entire studio and we inverted it. We're on the whole other side of the studio, okay, over there. And we moved it over because we're remodeling the floor because we got mold under the carpet from the last, like, five hurricanes over the last two decades. And we decided I no longer wanted to breathe mold in the studio, unless you guys want full disclosure. So we're putting new tile in here, finally, after 30 years. So we're going to move the studio back to the other side once the other side of the tile's done. You just can't see everything behind the scenes. But we're in a giant construction zone right now, keeping as clean as possible for you, but some of the camera angles are a little off. This will only be on for a few more days, and we'll be able to switch everything back over, so bear with me on it. Also, camera 4, vitamin B12 deficiency mimics symptoms of multiple sclerosis. This topic is brought up a lot with MS, especially in the early stages, shares overlapping symptoms with many conditions, especially B12 deficiency. Also ties into D3 deficiency as well. The cause unknown, they say, with MS. On the other hand, it's thought to be an autoimmune disorder where the immune system attacks the central nervous system. It can be extremely painful. I've talked to people with this before. It's like devastatingly painful. However, we're starting to see now there's three factors, and I'm not making any claims, three factors that make a big, big difference in this. Magnesium, D3, and B12, and essentially all B-complex vitamins. The magnesium needs to be used with the oral magnesium supplement, like the magnesium brain food, and also the magnesium Dead Sea salts that we carry, soaks and orally. Magnesium is crucial, not making any claims, from what I've heard and seen with this topic. B12, B-complex, another huge product that's got to be in, and also D3 is crucial. There's another study that came out years ago. This isn't the one in front of me. And basically, researchers were claiming that almost everybody they did blood work on in categories that had MS were D3 deficient. So again, three products there. I'm giving you the cheat code. I'm giving you the answer key. If you've got an issue with that, try that out. Again, not making any claims, but if you know people with it or they're having problems with it or it's starting to progress, it's much, much easier to fix it at the beginning with proper nutrient intake. Just putting that out there. Also, too, in other health news that's coming out right now, I had an article here that was very interesting. It says going gluten-free helps people feel better, but is gluten the real problem? I've covered this topic many times in the past because, you know, for thousands of years, human beings have eaten wheat, which contains gluten, and have had no issues at all as far as going on with that. And so the problem now is everybody goes, we got to go gluten-free. Well, the problem is the gluten-free that they try to put on a lot of packaging is, A, just a scam. Usually it's ultra-processed food, and it's got more crap in it than good when they call it gluten-free. But gluten was essentially, a lot of times, isn't what people think it is. It's the glyphosate. Majority of people that they're showing here, they tested, they said, aren't gluten-free, or aren't gluten-sensitive, basically ruling out celiac disease before they start going on a gluten-free diet. Celiac disease is not the major cause of this. It's the unbelievably toxic glyphosate that is in almost every bread compound known to man. That's the issue with it. And so what happens is you start eating this stuff, and we went in detail on it yesterday as far as what glyphosate does to the gut, how it stops nutrient absorption, how it increases inflammation. I wanted a whole tirade about this in detail if you want to read about it. So, but again, before you start going on this gluten-free kick, lose that shelf? Okay. Gosh, like a bull in a china shop this morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Gosh, I call you Lamborghini over here.
I need more purple sticks.
Yeah, you do, I guess. Anyways, try cutting out ultra-processed foods and foods that contain glyphosate as far as before you start going on one of these rampage diets and start taking medication for this stuff. Because in many cases, you've got an inflammatory problem. I talked about it yesterday about depression. I talked about alcoholism. I went into detail with glyphosate and inflammation in the body. So be sure to watch that article if you're having issues with certain things like inflammatory bowel disease, celiac disease, or anything that you're suspecting.
By the way, I've gotten a lot of feedback from that show you did yesterday. So you mean the show that we did that Austin went into detail about what causes so many problems with alcoholism and cortisol.
Yes. They're directly linked.
I have never, ever heard it expressed or discussed that way. And if you missed yesterday's show and you've got an issue with alcohol, and I'm sorry if you do because it's a major thing, 10% of the population has a genetic predisposition to become alcoholics if they start drinking. So it's just not worth the risk, especially if you got alcoholism from your mom or your dad or your uncle or anybody else, your grandfathers. Stay away from the mess, because I tell you what, that is one addictive mess. Because now that I've learned that it lowers cortisol like that, it's a major, major problem. It's extremely addictive. But watch yesterday's show.
Yeah, I went into detail on if you guys haven't seen it. And see, the thing is with me is if somebody's experiencing a problem, I like to find out what the root cause of it is. That's the issue I have with the American medical establishment nowadays. Oh, I've got it. I've got a headache. Huh. Take Tylenol. Well, Tylenol blows your liver out.
You don't have a deficiency of Tylenol.
Thank you. You don't have a deficiency of aspirin or BC powder. Does the product work as far as some type of inflammatory issue where you have a headache and it cuts the headache down? Sure, they work a lot of times, especially BC powder. Does it also increase risk of esophageal erosion? Yeah, it does. Been there, done that. When I used to hammer BC powder all the time, I was in my early 20s. So look at what's causing the headache. Is it dehydration? Is it magnesium deficiency? Is it high blood pressure? Is it a certain problem that's going on? And look at the root cause. The same thing as far as if you're dealing with alcoholism or other problems. Look at what's triggering it, causing it, and what's the baseline problem. And once you figure that out, it makes it much easier to address, and once you understand it, it makes you much easier to adapt to it and fix the problem, right? If you're running into a problem, you go, I'm constantly having headaches. I'm taking Tylenol every day to cure my headaches. Well, what's the problem? I don't know. I just can't stop having headaches. How much purified water are you drinking every day? Purified water? I live on Coca-Cola. I think we just found the problem, buddy. We could skip the Tylenol part and replace Coca-Cola with water. Oh, it's that easy? I'm not saying it's always that easy, but once you understand the root cause, your brain can process it differently. And you go, this is the problem. This is the solution. How is it going to work on the back end? Remember what I tell you all the time? What am I doing? What's it doing to me? And is that okay? Bingo. So, yeah.
You know, it's so funny. I was talking to a friend of mine who was on an airplane the other day, and they said that there was a lady sitting next to him, you know, two seats over, and she was about, you know, 150 kilos, over 300 pounds.
Yeehaw.
And all she ordered were sodas the entire trip. And then she brought with her an entire bag of chocolate chip cookies and candy that she was drinking with the sodas, eating with the sodas.
I will say this definitively, in my perspective, what I've personally seen, you cannot maintain morbid obesity without diet soda or without sodas. Haven't seen it. Every person I know that fights obesity and is extremely overweight, invariably, everyone I have met hammers sodas on a regular basis. Hammers them. You cannot maintain the calorie index. Can't do it. You have to have that extra 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 calories a day in sodas. Remember, one can of soda, one can of Coca-Cola is like 150, 160 calories. Average when they get bigger is like 200. But people that I've known that are morbidly obese, they'll drink a 2-liter with a pizza.
You know, it's funny. I remember we had a chiropractor, one of the smartest men I've ever known as far as from a mental standpoint. And he had to be at least 500
He's
pounds.
He's about
5'50". And what did he do? Two full-size pizzas?
That's what he said. I asked him. I was intrigued. And he was very open. He was very open about being morbidly obese. I said, Doc, I said, how do you maintain your weight? Kind of looked at me. Well, no, I'm curious, right? I'm in bodybuilding.
I mean, what's your goal weight? 600?
I'm eating 5,500 calories a day at 240 at the time. Everything's chicken and rice. You eat till you're doggone nauseous every day, 8 meals, trying to maintain that weight. How do you maintain 500 pounds, brother? I just like the key to it, even though it's all fat on you. Oh, I was like, well, for lunch today, I've got two extra large Papa John's pepperoni pizzas and a 2-liter of Coke, basically getting brought over to the
office. That's just lunch.
Lunch. And he goes, usually I'll repeat that again later on and, you know, so forth. And then usually at night, he's like, I'll eat a tub of Bluebell. I'm like, you mean a pint? He goes, no. Half okay. gallon. Tub. That's a lot of ice cream, Doc. Yeah, I know. I like it. I'm not going to stop. Fair enough. Okay. Owned it.
He did.
He owned it. He full on owned it. He's like, oh, it's causing all kinds of health problems.
Then he developed such bad arthritis from carrying his weight. He was on crutches. And finally, he had to have a medical disability because he could no longer walk and do chiropractic. And he owned it all the way until he did. Retired. I mean, I'll give him credit.
He didn't sit there and say, well, I don't know why I'm fat. I ate a salad today. Yeah. No, he didn't, Doc. He ate a salad.
Oh, by the way, I want to talk about this thing with the alcohol one more time again. Connecticut dental student who's 26 years old died after being treated by a physician on a screen who was 12 miles away. And now the parents are suing the hospital who did the dental screen. Now, I'm going to say about this. I mean, I'm sorry the kid died. My condolences to his family. But you got to dig a little bit deeper into this. This guy's 26 years old. And he died. And so here's the problem that they're not really telling you about in the headline. He goes, what people don't realize is that this guy had a low blood pressure, he had EKG results suggesting heart rhythm problems, and he elevated heart and respiratory rates. Okay? His clinical history, the 26-year-old, now listen to me, please, noted a history of alcohol abuse, which flushes the magnesium out of your body,
exactly right.
which causes heart rhythm problems. Okay? So he was basically an alcoholic. And within hours, the doctors diagnosed him with a condition related to alcohol withdrawal, including dehydration, pancreatitis, and metabolic acidosis. This is what happens with the alcohol poisoning. He was given medication in a hospital bed. Excuse me. A little dusty here this morning.
It is.
His parents went home at 7 p.m. Believing he was stable, and his condition rapidly deteriorated. Now, he says that he basically began vomiting blood. This is, again, alcoholism. They intubated him, attempted to perform life-saving measures, but he died. So now it's the hospital's fault that this alcoholic died at the age of 26. And now they're saying that he was this really good kid. He was working in dental, wanted to be a dentist. Okay, I'm going to stop here for a second. And my deepest condolences to the family. This 26-year-old died. What am I doing? As Austin just said. What's it doing to me, and is that okay? And I'm going to say something about college right now, and I'm going to piss off a lot of people right now. At this point in time, what difference does it make on this show? When I was at Florida State, I was in the Lyons Scholarship House, which is no longer there. They destroyed pretty much all these different houses they had that we were staying in, and I would never recommend the scholarship program up there. I'll stop there. It was awful. But the crazy part about it was, is that these fraternities were next door to us, and every night they would literally throw keg parties. Now, remember, it was legal to drink back then at 18. They had keg parties, wild bands, music. Everybody in the fraternity got unbelievably drunk. I mean, just pretty much everybody. And a lot of these guys, I knew them. I'd be in class with them the next day. They'd be hungover, and they were literally hungover or drunk all of the time. Every night they would go out and get drunk. I've got a friend of mine that I still know, that I still talk to upon occasion, and he has a problem with his heart now. And he was one of those guys who was always drunk. And he has a problem with magnesium imbalance. And he's always having problems with ventricular fib and always having health issues. And they try to put him on the doggone, you know, beta blockers and all this other kind of stuff because he won't stop drinking alcohol. Listen to me, families, friends. You're all my part of my – we're all having a group chat here this morning while I'm sneezing in dust. Here's the thing. If you send a child to college – and they want to go into a frat, they want to join a fraternity, put them into an academic fraternity. Don't put them in a drunk fraternity. A lot of these guys lose their charters and get kicked off of campus because of the alcoholism. It happens all the time. Or they'll bring a girl over to the house and they're all drunk and the girl gets drunk and then, the girl gets messed with pretty bad, gets raped in some cases. I've seen that too. And I'm not saying that all frats do that because they don't. But the reality is this. Be really careful if you're going to college and you're listening to the show this morning. Don't get involved with those people. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. I know another guy. His name was Dan. Won't mention his last name. Great guy. Haven't heard from him in years. They found him unconscious, crawled up inside of an air conditioning duct in his house.
That's horrible.
He just tried to get away from everybody, and they had to pull him out. Unconscious. Alcoholism. Alcoholic. And, you know, these kids, they start drinking like that in college, and they don't realize how addictive this stuff is. And, like, again, Austin talked about it yesterday with the cortisol. If you're going to be in college for a very specific reason. Here it is. Get ready to get an education, not to get drunk every night. And if you can't control yourself, then don't get involved with it. Stay away from college. Just avoid it. It'd be better to go to trade school. By the way, I was going to cover the story this morning with Austin. Basically, an 18-year-old bought him an A4.
Audi.
And he was basically going at about 85 miles an hour. He hit an 84-year-old guy up on the sidewalk and basically left the scene of the accident, ended up going to prison, broke the guy's hips, almost killed him. And the crazy part about it is, while he was basically calling his friends up about what happened, he orders a pizza.
I saw that.
And he's got they got him on record. Well, you know, I'm eating a pizza right now. You know, I'm not going to read it. His language is unbelievable. The victim, Eddie, suffered multiple pellet fractures and fractures his back. He's never been the same again. And the sad part about it, the kid was 18 years old. A car is a deadly weapon, Austin.
Oh, yeah.
You can use it to run over somebody. Here's this stupid kid. Now, here's the problem. A4s are pretty expensive cars. They're not cheap unless you got a really old one. But the problem is he had to qualify for the loan at 18. Or has somebody paid it for him.
Or he got a cosigner.
Yeah. So this kid is completely negligent. He's running through red lights on purpose. He goes, moment team boy racer brags, I've just bought this beast before mowing down a pensioner at 84 years old, and then callously orders a takeaway pizza. I mean, this is exactly why we talked yesterday about why 18-year-olds don't need to carry concealed weapons. But guess what's happened now in the state of Florida? This is a good segue.
Yeah, no, it's a great segue on here. So I was looking up something with top share. I'm going to cover eggs here in a second. As far as more fines for more companies, including you-know-who for egg manipulation. The state of Florida now, because basically law's been turned over, this is interesting, 18 to 20-year-olds can now openly carry firearms in the state of Florida legally anywhere that's not basically posted. Florida court ruling made the change to comply with Second Amendment rights. Now you guys know I am a massive, massive advocate of the Second Amendment. I don't compromise on it at all. Florida's going to change very quickly, which I do like. I'm not a proponent of open carry. I do not open carry hardly anywhere I go. Actually, anywhere I go, unless I'm out training with Hunter or route camping or hunting or something like that.
You're not a proponent.
I'm not a proponent of open carry.
I didn't know that.
No, I'm not a proponent of open carry.
I don't care, but I don't care either way.
My preference, I've talked to enough, individuals that have been in situations, let's leave it at that, is that one benefit you have when you concealed carry legally is an element of surprise. Huge, huge factor in basically an open combat situation where there's massive variables. If you're not in a combat zone, you're not planning to get in a gunfight, right? You're going to the store, you're going to the gas station, you're not in a combat zone. Having the element of surprise is one of the most important factors you can have in a gunfight. If you walk into a store and you do it on a regular basis and you got a nice, 44 Magnum slung on the hip, nice, Smith & Wesson, nice pistol. Well, here's the problem. If you got someone that walks in, they're a bad guy, we'll leave it at that, and they got a hoodie on, they got a ski mask on, the first thing they're going to notice when they walk in is your 44 Magnum. If they are really nefarious, they're going to engage you first immediately upon seeing your firearm. You have no element of surprise at all. There's been numerous instances where people that have been concealed carrying in a store, restaurant, or gas station, you can watch the video surveillance camera on them, something happens, goons come in with guns, take a step back, concealing, no, not a perceivable threat. They're focused on the money. They want the cash in the drawer. You can take a step back, assess the situation, look at your background, always look at your backdrop, and engage if you feel the need to do so.
Background, if you missed a target, you wouldn't have.
That is exactly right. One of the biggest things, you've got to watch your backgrounds, man, especially in an area where civilians are running around. You can't just – we're not in the movies, okay? Some of the stupidest films you ever see sometimes where these guys get in gunfights in the middle of the street with civilians everywhere. And cops are shooting, like the Yosemite Sam. And I'm like, bullets don't stop when they miss the target.
You remember a few years ago, the sheriff's department here in Polk County shot some of their own officers through a trailer wall.
Oh, yeah, through a doggone trailer raid. It was a meth raid. The guy was basically shot out the doggone door. Cops, the sheriff stand outside. Kid died. That was a tragedy. And especially if it's blue on blue like that, you kill one of your other deputies. It's not a good look. So back to this now. First, basically 18 to 20-year-olds can now openly carry firearms in Florida. I don't perceive this to be a serious problem, only for the reason that I don't think most 18 to 20-year-olds in the state of Florida anymore have the guts to carry firearms much anymore. Most of them don't. Most of the kids now I've seen are about as soft as it gets. Open carrying a firearm is a pretty bold statement. You put a pretty big target on your back for law enforcement. You put a big target on your back for criminals. And you got to basically know you can how to handle that weapon, and it needs to be in a multi-stage pistol holster, period. I've seen people walking around open carrying with Kydex holsters. I mean, there's no retention on them. You just draw it right out. That is the dumbest thing in the world. If you're going to open carry, it needs to be a two-stage or three-stage.
Tell me why.
The retention. If somebody's got a Kydex holster in their pistol, in their holster, and there's no retention on it, somebody walk around.
What do you mean by retention?
Maintaining the pistol and the holster, it's locked in, meaning it needs to have at least a thumb brake on it. You have to operate a thumb brake that's right usually on the left side of the handgun if you're right-hand carry.
By thumb brake, you mean like a snap?
No, it's a thumb. It's basically a push button down on it. Safari Land's one of the best examples. All I carry is Safari Land. And so as far as for open carry if I'm training. And so you got to use a thumb brake. Usually you have another brake that'll go over the slide that you have to operate off. And then you have a three-stage, which a lot of officers carry, which is another one you got to do. That's excessive unless you're long.
Why is this important?
Retention of the firearm. You get in a fight, say it goes to the ground. It's almost impossible to pull a pistol off with multi-stage. It can't do with the angle. You have to have the exact draw pulling up while you're pushing the button simultaneously to get the firearm out. Very difficult. If I get in an altercation, say it goes hand-to-hand, and I go to the ground with somebody, and he's got a friend of him that's a perpetrator as well, all he's got to do is walk up behind me, pull the pistol right out, shoot me in the back of the head. There's no retention.
I remember years ago I used to have a fanny pack, which is really kind of ludicrous.
They're coming back.
I know, but I had one, and I had it.
Because still carry fanny packs are getting popular again.
Well, no, and what happened to me, I was sitting there, I was at the bike shop.
Yeah.
And that guy who was working there, we call the liar.
Yeah.
He lied about everything. This guy, when his mouth moved, he lied. And finally, I told the owner, I knew the owner well, I said, dude, this guy lies about everything. Oh, we know, we call him the liar. And I'm like, what?
He did a bunch of sales, though, so they tolerated.
Yeah, and then he got fired.
Well, he lied over so many things he's going to do.
No, it's ridiculous. One time I bought a Goldwing, and he brought it to my house for me. He doggone scrubbed the doggone pipes going around the corner, so I just laying it over and scratched the crap out of it. I thought, this is ridiculous. I mean, and then he wanted to deny it. I said, dude, you're the only person who's driven his bike. You know, so they had to fix it. But the crazy part about it is that this guy walked up behind me one day and unsnapped my fanny pack.
He's joking around with you?
I mean, it hit the ground. I mean, he unsnapped it. He pushed the button. Bam.
That fast.
It was like second. It was on the ground. I'm like, and he looked at me and goes, I know you got your gun in there. I'm assuming you're carrying a Glock, so it should be safe. He goes, those don't work. That's how fast you can be disarmed. And I thought to myself, okay.
He went wrong on that one.
No, from that point on, I dropped the fanny pack and started pocket carrying.
Yeah.
Which that can be a problem too, because if you sit down with short shorts on, or not short shorts, short pockets in your shorts.
Retain your pistol, guys. Don't carry in your pocket, please. Personal preference.
Okay,
use a Kydex holster, it secures your weapon.
No, I agree with that. But now one more time, let me ask you this question. You know, when you see somebody carrying a .44 Magnum, we got a Dirty Harry gun here, okay? One of the world's most powerful handguns, and they're open carrying it.
Yeah.
Do you not think there's also an element of deterrence there?
There can be.
Now, I'm not talking about if you're a little softy with 3-inch arms, okay? I'm not talking about that. If you're pretty muscled up and you look like you know what you're doing and you got a gun on you and you got a retention holster on it.
That's the difference. That's the biggest thing I was going to say. I'm going to segue back to this right now because it's exactly what you're asking me. I went into a really nice Mexican restaurant on Sunday in North Carolina. Just happened to me. So when I go in, I'm carrying appendix with a .43X. That's my carry gun. You guys,
were you open carrying?
No, absolutely not. I never open carry. But I'm concealed. So I've got a t-shirt on, a little baggy t-shirt. You know, I'm coming in pumped up. Me and Hunter Scott done training, but I'm still concealed. As soon as I walk in the front door, there's a guy right to the left of the door, and he's open carrying like a Glock 17. It's like a full size.
Big gun. Good gun.
No retention. He's a civilian. Now, as soon as I saw the gun, my brain works this way. I would not do this. I'm not a criminal. My brain went, that's a non-retention holster. I literally can grab his pistol right now. He's kind of fat. I'm not going to lie. He had a big belly on him, probably about 50 years old. And I thought to myself, his right hand, you know, he's right-handed. He's standing right to the left of the door. I have full access to him. I can draw his weapon right now, and he will not even have anything he can do about it. And I walked up beside him, and I looked at him. Said, hey, bud, how you doing? He looked at me. You know, he was kind of postured up. Like, I'm open carrying. He goes, I'm doing good. How are you doing? Yeah. And I kind of looked at him again. I sized him up, and I was like, this doesn't work. It doesn't work. The guy's not maintaining his proper clearance on his firearm. He's exposing it to the door that's walking in. There's no retention on this holster. He can't do crap on the floor. I mean, he may have weighed me 20, 30 pounds. You could tell he had no cardiovascular training at all. And I thought to myself, that's the exact person that doesn't have the deterrence when somebody walks in as a criminal. Now, if I walk in and, you know, Brock Lesnar has 244 magnums retained on both sides, I'm going to go, I'm a criminal, I'm going to go to another store. It's just not, there's not. So there's an aspect of having a firearm, how you handle yourself, how you carry yourself, and essentially why. That's the million-dollar question I ask people. Why do you need to open carry in this segment? Your draw, and I can do this with anybody. My draw from concealed, from my draw from open carry is very minimal time difference. Minimal. Timed it with a buzzer many times. I maybe half a second difference. The longest time is getting my shirt up over it. That's it. That's the thing about it. Well, I can get my gun faster. If you can get your gun that much faster open carry than you can concealed, you're not concealing properly. And secondly, what is the purpose of open carrying? What are you involved in? Are you expected to get in a gunfight? Are you going into a hot combat zone in Detroit? You know, something like that. Got it. Needs to be the purpose of why. Like the guy in Florida down here. I'm carrying my AR into Walmart. Now, Walmart has banned all open carrying in Florida now.
Have they really?
Banned it. Publix has too. Publix, you're not allowed to open carry in Publix.
They had enough of it.
Enough of it. Because you had these clowns, and I'll just call them clowns because that's what they are. I'm going to walk around Publix. Got my AR slung on me, walking around. Why? Is Publix that big of a threat that you feel a need to carry your M4 in there?
Private,
if it is,
private,
you probably don't need to go to that Publix.
Private property.
Correct. It's private property. You know, I can go in and carry an extra mag with a 43X, and I can be any formidable force if somebody comes in and tries to do something. Not bragging, just stating facts. But if I feel like I got to carry an M4 into a store, I'm going to need to go to a different store, especially if I've got my kids with me. Don't be that guy. Don't be the one. I can tell you, every single person that wants to walk around open carrying, massive show of force for no reason at all, they got an ego that needs to be checked, and they got something they're trying to prove with everybody, and they got no purpose carrying a firearm open carry.
Woo, that's strong.
Yeah. So I'm going to put it out there.
So what you're saying is, let me basically recapitulate here. You're saying that if a person is prepared and he's posturing and everybody knows he's real, he can really handle a gun and he's open carrying and he has a multi-stage holster on and people are aware of that, it may be a criminal deterrent. But,
possibly.
Okay. I remember just a few last year I was walking around Ybor City. Now, don't go there at night. It's unbelievably dangerous. If you want to get shot, go to Ybor at night.
Or hit by a car that FHP's chasing downtown at 100 miles an hour.
That's why the doggone tourism at Ybor's collapsed again, because nobody wants to go down there and get shot. Great restaurant down there called the Acropolis. Great food, great span of capita. But the reality is, don't go there at night. And I'm walking around, and there's homeless everywhere. And I've got a date. And she says to me, well, aren't you scared? I said, no. And she goes, why not? I said, well, number one, I'm concealed carrying. Number two, I don't give off the image that I'm a victim.
There you go.
You understand what I just said? I said, my body posture isn't that way. I don't do that. I don't act like I'm a little sheep about to get sheared. See, you got to realize when you step into a situation, they're going to size you up like Austin did that guy up there in North
and
Carolina.
I didn't even mean to do it. I'm not trying to be an ass. I'm being honest. No, I wasn't trying to do it. No. As soon as I walked in, that's the first thing I do is I visually engage everybody in a room just to get an assessment of the situation.
You're like a super soldier, dude. So it's like Matt Damon when he was doing that show Born, right? He said, he is the very first one. He goes in this restaurant with this girl. He goes, I know everybody here. I know what they can do. I know if they can handle themselves.
I know all the exits.
He goes, I know all the exits. He goes, I know every tag and tag number in the parking lot.
That was a lot. That was pretty impressive. He did that.
And I'm like, whoa. And so the thing is, you don't want to give the image. See, and that's the thing. That's why we talk about working out and staying in shape and body posturing. There's an old, this is an old song. There's a little bit of fun here. Linda Ronstadt, and she was singing this love song to Kermit the Frog. And it was so funny. It's a Scooby-Doo song. It's hilarious. I need to play it this morning, Austin. We need to play Linda Ronstadt for a second. I'll pull it up. I'll pull it up real quick. And the funny thing about it is, you know, she says, you'll know that he loves you by his kiss, right? Well, you know if you're an alpha male by your walk. If you walk like a wimp, like you got a corn cob up your whatever, people don't really take you as a serious threat. You got to walk the walk. That's why the Four Seasons came out with the song "Walk Like a Man."
Yeah.
Of course, they were selling it. So they were singing it in falsetto. So
they all sound like
a bunch of gay boys. By the way, let's change topic.
I got it covered. Okay, you go. I wanted to tie this off, though. Hold that thought for one second.
Tie it off like a tourniquet.
Tie it off like a cat tourniquet. 2 liters of soda. I just want to go back to this. The doctor I talked to you about asked him how you maintain 500 pounds. 2 liters of soda, average 950 calories. One Papa John's XL pepperoni is 3,300. That's times two. That's 66 plus 1,000. So it's about 7,600 calories.
That's enough for 4 days.
For one lunch to maintain that weight. Little. So don't tell me you can't lose weight because you're eating salad all day and you're 500 pounds.
Well, the boy you know from the when you went diving with, you said he's down 20 pounds already.
Yeah, almost. He's like 18 or 19 last time I talked
to him. And I'm down 12 pounds now, guys. Thank you for the encouragement. I appreciate that. I'm back down to about 198.
Flat. I haven't changed.
Well, yeah. Like, oh, by the way, we've also told you many times we don't eat a Taco Bell.
Gosh, no.
Now they've made national news, okay? Taco Bell reportedly has been dragged into an investigation over a horrifying explosive stomach parasite outbreak that has struck thousands across 38 states.
Woo! Okay? Gosh.
This may put them out of business from lawsuits.
This 38 states a big deal. This isn't isolated anymore.
Potential source of explosive stomach bug are being investigated weeks into an outbreak that's seen surges far above the typical in the U.S. Health officials of Michigan, which are experienced in most cases, say early evidence reports that salad and lettuce, which probably could be a big problem, sure you wash it. And it goes on to say, however, federal and state officials have allegedly investigating Taco Bell as a possible source. Michigan sees just 40 to 50 cases a year. Now they're seeing 4,000.
That's a big deal.
Okay. And so this is a serious parasite that can kill you. And so you got to be really, really careful eating at places that may not clean their lettuce. I don't recommend Taco Bell at all. Okay, if I want to go get something that I think tastes good that's pretty much not really junk food but it's healthy, I'd do a Five Guys. You know, Austin and I went there the other day. But the reality is that if you're not careful and you eat at places like this, you have a higher probability of coming down with these types of diseases. I remember years ago I was doing a show with John Jay in Cincinnati. This is back when they had Olean or Olestra or whatever that stuff was called back in the 90s that caused all these problems with intestinal problems. It was like it stopped fat absorption. And I remember it would cause rectal seepage. God, who uses those words together? That's just disgusting,
oh,
right?
Gosh.
And I remember,
bro, it's not Friday yet.
No. Listen to me. This is our little funny segment we're doing after all the other stuff. So here's what's funny about this whole thing. So it was produced by Procter & Gamble, and they couldn't get people to stop talking about the problems associated with it. And so John Jay gets on the radio, and I'll never forget this. And he goes, "Live from Cincinnati, it's rectal seepage brought to you by Procter & Gamble." And it was live on radio. The entire studio erupted like you guys are doing right now laughing. I know you guys are laughing. That's
John
funny.
Jay, man.
John Jay and Rich. I just lost it in the studio. This is live radio. Boy, right after that, I got a letter from Procter & Gamble.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. We need to sit and talk to you about this. But I didn't lie about anything. It was John Jay who said it. But I tell you what.
Procter & Gamble.
It was right after that, he left Cincinnati.
Yeah, I was about to say. he was cool, dude.
Then he went to Houston. Then he went to Tucson. I followed him all around the country. And then finally, he ended up in Phoenix. And then the last time we were on with him, we were on for like 3 hours. I was on with like 3 hours. And
What's he doing now?
I don't know. I haven't spoken to him in years. But the crazy part about it is that I never was invited back after the three-hour thing in Phoenix. I think the producers had enough of it, especially when I'm talking about how you don't have a deficiency of Tylenol and diet sodas aren't healthy for you. And they had all these sponsors that were coming in, so I think I got the black axe from that guy. But not from John Jett. He would never have done that to me. But then he was saying, well, we're bringing Dr. Oz on now. And I'm like, well,
I can tell it's higher up. They shut him down on that.
But I still laugh about that to this day. I mean, it was so funny. And, of course, it was great radio because everybody was laughing, you know, and I got a feeling people were spitting up their coffee in the cars from that. But
oh, yeah.
It was a joke, man.
Here's a laugh. This is a laughable amount now. You see, this is insane.
Oh, by the way, the headquarters of Procter & Gamble were in Cincinnati.
Oh, that's why you got their attention.
We were looking at their rooftops when he did that.
Woo!
It was so funny.
Largest egg producers will pay a $3.3 million fine for
after they made billions. Unbelievable.
$3.3 million. They're saying now basically the DOJ's investigated and they have settled without admitted wrongdoing, of course, but they're going to pay $3.3 million for essentially saying that the price increases of bird flu prices on eggs was massively manipulated. And what people are saying is
a fraction
they generated by raising consumer prices. I mean, they probably made close to $1 billion.
You know, here's what they do. They teach you how to do this in the MBA program.
They do.
I'm going to tell you what they do.
Fear of missing out.
What they do is they set a graph up. Okay. And they got a break even point and they got a point of what the market will bear. Okay. And what they do, they say you raise the price up high enough to determine what the market will bear. Then you look at a break even, and then you look at a profitability index. And then what happens is the market will bear it, but they'll start, people stop buying as many eggs. It starts to come back down. So then you got to lower the prices to keep the profitability up. It's actually calculated on how to do this. They taught us how to do this. Now, I don't do that with Health Masters. We do the best product that we can possibly do at the best price we can possibly give you. We're not trying to manipulate prices like these clowns did. But the reality is when you get the bean counters out there and they go, well, if we increase our eggs by a dollar, you know, we're selling a million a day, a million, you know, that dozen a day, you're going to have a revenue increase of $365 million a year. If we increase them by $10 a dozen, right, we're going to have $3.6 billion in extra revenue.
Unbelievable.
You think, well, I mean, is that, they did that. Eggs were $12 a dozen. We were paying $1.50 for organic eggs years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. Suddenly, I'm still paying, you know, $4.50 for eggs. And what happens, the bean counters come in, and most of the time they're little hat people, just saying.
Almost always.
Almost like 95%. And they find a way to maximize the profits. And the problem is the consumer is the one that gets caught in the neck with this because they have to pay extra prices for the eggs. And they, this is exactly what they did. We told you they were manipulating the price on purpose. And now they have the, so they make billions of extra dollars. They get fined $3 million.
Here's the factor the antitrust division won't even address. So the DOJ is saying they manipulated the market. They made excess of all this money. Nobody's addressing the fact that the USDA paid $889 million in financial assistance to poultry farmers affected by the bird flu between January 2023 and September.
All a lie.
That's $1 billion to just 10 major egg-producing companies. Over half of all the payments went to just the 10 largest corporations.
I'm going to say one other thing, too. They're saying we killed, what, 20 million birds or something stupid?
Yeah.
Who counted those birds?
Yeah.
Now I'm going to ask you that question. Who counted the birds? You think, well, that's got to be an estimate. Yeah, you're darn right that's an estimate.
Well, when they came in, they said, well, what's this farm? Where the chickens tested positive on a PCR test. The PCR test didn't work.
It's a chicken.
Right. And then they said, well, we've got 2 million chicken. You guys need to dispose of all of them. Okay. Oh, and by the way, here's $20 million from the USDA to dispose of all those chickens, and we're going to recompensate.
How do you get rid of 2 million chickens,
dude? You don't, dude. The whole thing was a giant scam.
You have to get DA bulldozers in there.
Remember what happened in the midst of it? They came out and said, oh, by the way, now, we've created an RNA gene therapy vaccine for bird flu.
Chicken, yeah.
For the bird flu now that we basically are going to start trying to mandate to all these chickens that aren't organic.
Austin, is it always the little hat people?
Well, let's find out. One of the major egg companies, Cal-Maine Foods, that was fined. Oh, they got fined $1.5 million. It looks like they got around.
Who owns
they
that?
They got around $150 to $200 million just from the FDA and subsidies. Well, let's pull it up real quick.
$193 million reimbursed for chicken.
Yeah, they got $193 million. And, they're paying $1.3 million on manipulation. I mean, this is a joke. Oh, but let's see. Cal-Maine Foods. What do we got here? Cal-Maine Foods. Major shareholder.
BlackRock. Vanguard. State Street. It's always these three, buddy.
BlackRock. Who would have possibly thought BlackRock was behind this?
Or State Street or Vanguard.
Oh, kind of like how BlackRock's the major shareholder in Versa Mobility, the number one red light contractor in the entire United States. Oh, that's right. Lakeland, Florida, right down the street from me. They just signed another 5-year contract with Versa Mobility to have a total of 29 red light camera intersections. It's projected that I did the math on this, if the current rate goes at the contract numbers, they will be producing between 44 and 50,000 red light tickets a year in Lakeland, Florida by the end of 2029.
The population is only
80,000 people. Yeah. Right. And here's the problem that everybody's saying. We're having all these problems. They're like, oh, traffic red lights and tickets and basically accidents. How about you build better infrastructure before you allow another 15,000 apartments to go in a whole subsection of North Lakeland and ruin the entire infrastructure. Problem, action, solution. They're creating the problem, then they're telling you the problem will fix it by finding more people. This is a program that they've put together now. I pulled this up yesterday. It's called the Vision Zero Initiative. It's a global traffic strategy designed to eliminate all traffic fatalities and serious injuries. Lakeland is now part of Zero Vision Zero now, as of last year. They want to go in now, and they want to make sure they're relying on tools like red light cameras, speed detection cameras, standard vehicle safety features, like breathalyzers in all vehicles that detect if you're impaired and it shuts down your vehicle. These are the guys pushing it with the Vision Zero initiative. These are the ones who've been doing it with the DOT. I was trying to find out where it's coming from. It's this initiative. It's global, and it's through a lot of the World Economic Forum.
You know, years ago, I did a show with Austin here. This is years ago. And I'd had enough of it. It's like 10 years ago. And I actually went into all the major corporations, and I picked all the top financial people in all those corporations, and it listed them by what religion they were. You remember this?
Yeah.
And, man, did we get the blowback. Almost every major corporation was being controlled from a financial standpoint by little hat people. And I listed it all. And, boy, you guys got – well, that was back then before Israel decided to start attacking everybody. And you guys got – a lot of you guys got really mad. We'll never listen to your show again, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like – I'm just telling you the facts, guys. This is not something I
want
to do.
Well, they say they want to eliminate. Remember, this is how it always goes. Who's the boogeyman now? The boogeyman's traffic fatalities. Their goal, they said, by 2040, is they want to have zero traffic fatalities anywhere in the cities. Zero. Well, the only way you can do that is by controlling, monitoring, restricting every vehicle on the road. That's it.
Yeah.
Which means zero freedom, just like in the UK. I talked to a friend of mine that's over there right now.
Unbelievable,
they're
UK.
Working for me. And he said, they don't even just have speed cameras anymore in the UK. They have an average speed ticket system. So as you're driving, they're clocking you everywhere you go with speed cameras and reading your tag. Everywhere you go. When you get to a final destination.
It's on the way here.
Uh-huh. Final destination where you get. If you've gone over the speed limit, say the speed limit's 55, right? They clock your average speed the whole way. So if your average speed was 57, basically determine on how they run the numbers on it, you now get a ticket based on 2 miles an hour over average speed.
This is why you stop for fuel before you get to your house.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, by the way, Sam O'Neill's, his cause of death has been revealed. This is a guy from Jurassic Park, and it's what I thought it was going to be. You know, he was on so much chemotherapy for the cancer, his immune system got shot. And here's the thing they never, ever, ever test, very rarely, unless you got a really good doctor. They never check D3 levels.
Nope.
D as in... you know, D is in
Delta.
Delta, David, whatever. And what happened is he died of pneumonia, Austin. Cytokine storm.
Jeez.
And what happens is when you have insufficient amount of macrophages, white blood cells that are attacking this basically disease or cancer or basically pneumonia and your immune system compromised, then what happens is you come down with something like pneumonia and your body doesn't know what to do because the macrophages can't activate without Delta D. Three, they cannot activate, so they send up cytokines. The cytokines cause massive inflammation, cause the lungs to fill with fluid. And it's the same reason that so many people, 60 million apparently, some people say up to 60 million people died of swine flu in World War I. It wasn't from the flu, it was from the cytokine storm and their lungs filling up with fluid and dying of pneumonia. And so I feel bad for him because he was supposedly cancer-free, but his immune system was completely and totally impaired. He may not have had enough macrophages anyhow, but the ones that were there were releasing cytokines. And what an absolute mess, because I like the guy as an actor, except for a few of the movies he did.
Yeah, this is wild. You'll like this. Navy Blue Angels ultra-low flyover causes chaos in Florida Beach. You got a bunch of little people now that like to complain about everything. And Pensacola, Wednesday, Blue Angels did an ultra-low altitude flyover. Now, they weren't running high speeds, but they went really low.
How low were they rolling?
Low enough to basically come and override the top of the doggone. You can see the
low
numbers on it. So they the bunch
he's
of
about he's about 200 feet right
yeah
feet, yeah
but you know here's the thing
that's
that,
by the way that's illegal he wasn't supposed to do that
no they weren't supposed to go that low but here's the other thing too people have to understand these jets are incredible pieces of equipment right
unless they malfunction
at 200 feet he wasn't supposed to go that low. I'm a motorhead. I love planes. I would have found this pretty wild. A bunch of tents got flipped. A bunch of chairs got flipped.
He was
over.
That low.
He was that low. Well, there's a photo here where basically everybody got sand dusted, you know, kicked up. I mean, was he flying too low? Yeah. Was it pretty wild? Yeah. Was anybody injured? No. But again, you get the Karens that are there, and I don't mean that specific person, just those the kind of personality.
One of our best friends is Karen.
She's great, but you can people have to complain about something. You're at an air show. You're inevitably risking your own life being underneath planes, period. You're going somewhere you know planes are going to be flying over your head. You get on an airplane to fly. You're inevitably taking a risk. You need a car, you drive on the interstate. You're inevitably taking a risk. You go to an air show, you're taking a risk. Understand that. If they do a low flyover,
Wasn't an air show, though. They were on the beach.
Well, no, it wasn't an air show.
Oh, wasn't
oh, was
air
it?
Show.
It was Pensacola air show. Yeah, oh. Oh, yeah. It was Pensacola beach air show.
Oh, you didn't say that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, so it wasn't like they just did it to do it.
Oh, I thought they just did it to do it.
Well, even if they did, it's a Blue Angels.
Let me tell you a funny story. We're at the air show. We're at Sun and Fun a few years back, and they had F-22 Raptors there. And we were sitting there watching the runway, and the F-22 Raptors coming across the runway, and he picks his wheels up. Takes off.
Straight vertical.
And he's like 50 feet, 40 feet in the air, and he just turns the plane straight up. He goes, straight, and the ground starts shaking. Remember that?
Oh, it was, you could feel, yeah, you we were pretty far off, and you could feel
it. Quarter mile away.
Hit you in the face from a quarter mile away. Heat was so hot.
And he went straight vertical, and then he broke down. He had to
check
engine
light cable.
They had to land. But we got to say, but it was one of the most exhilarating things I've ever seen. But that's the problem. The check engine light came on. And when a check engine light comes on when you're flying at Mach 2 or 3, it's a serious problem.
You're on the interstate of 70, you pull over.
Yeah. But guys, just remember that, you know, Christ is here for you, that Jesus is here for you, and that we can do all things through Jesus and through Christ who strengthens us. He's the creator, the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. And we always try to keep the show a little bit light. We always try to make a little bit of fun on some things. Sometimes we're funny, sometimes we're not. Sometimes we offend people, sometimes we don't. But reality, regardless of that, we're like a cross-eyed discus thrower. We may not set any records, but we'll keep you alert. We're trying to do that. But also, what's your final story?
Well, my final story is thank you, guys, on the YouTube comments. I had them up there. I just pulled it up earlier. You guys have put a lot of comments in here. One person asked a comment I want to quiz. I always try to recommend, I always try to answer health questions on here. A lot of times you guys put other stuff in there. It's great, but health stuff's the main priority. It says, Austin, what containers do you use when getting distilled water versus osmosis water from stores or at home? Great question. A lot of times I have my own system in my house. I don't do this anymore, but if I'm traveling, I've used glass jugs, 1 gallon apple juice jugs that are glass. That's the best option. However, they're harder and harder to get.
And they break.
They break. I'll be really careful. They do have like plexiglass, non-BPA, really, really hard plastic jugs. You see them like the 5 gallon
they're
water
blue.
Coolers. Blue. You can get them all the way different sizes. That's really the safest option. We also carry that same thing in a 2 gallon system. At our water distillers, it should be on the website. You could use it. It's got a spigot. You put that in your fridge. Best thing to do is, like I said, the hard plastics, they don't really leach anything. I've looked at them, tested them before, and they don't break as easy as glass. The glass ones are great, safe, well, from a water standpoint, but, man, I've had them break in the back of my truck before.
Me too.
It's a mess with the glass. Oh, another question. Hi, Dr. Ted and Austin. Love your show. I love the Ultimate Multiple Chewable. Basically, I didn't read the rest of it.
Number, oh, by the way, Hegstead.
Show me your abs. No, I'm not going to do that today.
I'll show you that. Testosterone-fueled troops. Hegstead says the military began testing hormones at the age of 30 and above. Wow. That's because so many boys are soy boys, and they're eating too much junk, and their testosterone is down. And testosterone is directly related to aggressiveness and combat quality and in basically
that's
situations,
exactly right.
Period. And so they want to start jacking them up on tests.
Well, you got to have combat fires. If test is low, you got to get them up if they're deploying, period. Mm-hmm. But again, at the end of the day, what's causing the problem? Mm-hmm. That's like I've said before. Best option, Testo Plus, Tribulus Fuel.
You need to show them the abs one day.
I'm not showing the abs.
We'll take a picture
maybe
of the abs.
Maybe one day. I'm trying to, it's a health show. I guess that's related.
Well, that's an abs to that.
All right, whatever. I'll do it one day. Now you're going to give me a goal because I can't show my abs now because they're not where I want them.
Well, show them
to
the picture you carry in the
M4. Nah, we'll do that another time.
I showed
I'm about
that
to burn the clock down. You guys need anything, healthbastards.com. I appreciate the continued support. Thank you for the positive emails. Thank you for the reviews. The reviews make a really big deal on this show and on the website. When people have the ability to see what's going on. My camera's not on. When they have the ability to see a lot of the positive reviews people get from certain supplements like the magnesium brain food, the Ultimate Multiple Powder, it makes it easier for everybody else to look at certain problems that they may be having or issues they want to fix and compare them. Reviews are crucial, so thank you for those on there. And also, too, Product of the Week, B-Complex, one of our best sellers that we have on the site, highly recommended, high dose bioactive B-Complex. You will find very, very good results from this in most cases that I get with people because a lot of people are B vitamin deficient because they're water soluble. Always remember that. You don't take B vitamins one time a month and go, oh, I have my B vitamins for the year.
No. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Trump is endorsing Mike Lindell for governor of the state of Minnesota. Which is
Lindell's a pillow guy, right?
Right, yeah. But you know, now sheriff is saying that Somalian youth gangs are running wild in Minneapolis.
I have a cure for that.
Yeah, me too. But the point is that we need to get some people up there in Minnesota that aren't a bunch of liberals and, you know, they don't...
Well, they seem to lift the rules of engagement with that up there.
with Somalia gangs. Somalia gangs with their 56 IQs.
This is the United States. I don't remember having to tolerate Somalian pirates on land, and we have to just step back and be peasants.
Remember that when Somalia, who was a cop, shot that girl right in the face?
Well aware. You guys have a great evening. Stay strong, stay healthy. We'll talk to you on this show tomorrow as always.
Hey, we love you, and thanks for your support.